Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
Thank you for that. This didn't fit in our worship service today. We have a lot going on this morning, but I've had that song in my head all week. Partly because it's so blooming hot outside, and gathering by water is one of the few ways to beat the heat. I don't know how you've been spending your summer, but my family and I have sort of made our way from one body of water to another. Perhaps you're headed somewhere like that after church today. The shores of the lake are filled with people these days, and for good reason. It's a place of refreshment and relief. Shall we gather at the river feels like a song for these hot summer afternoons, and it also feels like a song for this very morning when we are gathering by the water of the baptismal font. It doesn't look like it's going anywhere, but we insist that it is, that the water poured out here is in fact moving. It's flowing from God's heart of love for the creation and its creatures. It's flowing from the lives of faithful people who have come before us. It's flowing from the lives of those who have shaped us and cared for us and shown us mercy and grace in our own lives. And it is flowing on into the future, pointing us toward a world in need, toward neighbors crying out for justice, and finally towards God's promise of healing and restoration for all. Make no mistake, this water is much bigger than our little font or our little sanctuary. And this water is moving. We are gathered on the shores of that great river of faith today. Santiago and his family are here from the Netherlands. Amelie and her family are here from China. We are all here from the many places that we come from, gathered with the saints, which you know just means ordinary people drawn by God's grace, gathered with the saints of all times and places at the river that flows by the throne of God, this river of refreshment and relief and healing and hope. I invite you to hold on to that image this morning. It's a good place to be. So the disciples are also gathered by the water in our reading today, or rather in the water. But it's not such a peaceful place. They find themselves caught in the middle of the sea in the midst of a storm. It's this wild, dramatic, and ultimately beautiful story. But before we dive into it, it's worth remembering what's come just before. Jesus has received word earlier this very chapter that John the Baptist was killed. This teacher and friend who baptized him has been brutally murdered by King Herod. And Jesus' first impulse after hearing this news is to hop into a boat with his disciples, it seems, and find a quiet place to pray. And we can understand this desire, right? It's only natural to wish for some space after receiving hard news, some room to grieve and to begin to process the loss. So off they all go to the other side of the lake. But no sooner does the boat land in that deserted place than Jesus and the disciples find themselves swamped by crowds yet again, yet more people who are seeking healing and help. And Jesus does not say, "Scram, I'm not in the mood," but has compassion for them and cures their sick. The disciples, who I imagine were themselves hoping for some peace and quiet in this painful and uncertain time, are ready to send the crowds home at dinner time. But Jesus insists they serve the hungry people all around them, and somehow there's enough to go around. It's been this whirl of a day, a flurry of unexpected activity. And then immediately, Matthew says, at the start of our reading, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat by themselves while he dismissed the crowds. Bible commentaries will tell you that "made" is sort of a gentle translation of the Greek word there. Forced or compelled would be more accurate. Jesus does not politely invite the disciples to move on without him as evening falls. No, he forces them to go on their own. Maybe it's so he can finally get that prayer time by himself that he's been wishing for all day. Or maybe there's something else deeper going on here, something the disciples need to learn or experience. The gospel doesn't tell us the reason, only that Jesus insists that his friends push out into the sea on their own without him. I think it's important to keep all that background in mind when reading this story, all that the disciples have just been through. Because when the wind picks up and the waves start to form, they are not all rested and fresh and energized. I imagine they are actually deeply exhausted by this point, both physically and spiritually spent. It's a story about a storm at sea, yes, but I think it's also about that place where life feels totally overwhelming, where you've been trying as hard as you possibly can with the task before you, and it seems there's no resolution in sight, where your work for a more just and peaceful society feels like an endless uphill battle, where a loved one is hurting and you don't know how to help, where the search for a job leads to one closed door after another, where you're already at your full capacity, tired and strained, and yet one more problem rears its head, where you feel that your heart can't possibly hold one more bit of bad news, and then the day's fresh crop of headlines comes into focus. We all know that place, I think, that place of deep exhaustion, that place where the tank is empty and there are still more miles to cover. I think our story brings us there and reminds us that life with Jesus doesn't mean we bypass these places altogether. Rowan Williams says that baptism is essentially about being brought where Jesus is, and that means right into the hurt and need of our world. Jesus spent his life among the trampled, the ignored, the lonely, the hungry. So life with him will take us there. It will push us beyond our comfort zones. It will drive us into the storms of our world. It will ask more of us than we probably thought we could give. Just ask the disciples in their small boat, far from shore, straining with the oars in the dark. They are utterly spent at this point, and Jesus, who compelled them to be here, is nowhere to be found for hours, which I can only imagine must have seemed very, very long. And then something wondrous happens. In the middle of the night, literally the fourth watch, sometime between 3 and 6 a.m., a figure comes striding across the waves. The disciples cry out in fear, imagining they're seeing a ghost, which seems reasonable enough given the circumstances. I mean, who but a ghost can walk on the sea? And then comes these words in a familiar voice. "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." A more direct translation would be, "Take heart, I am," which might ring some bells of recognition for you. It certainly would have for the disciples, because "I am who I am" was the response given to Moses at the burning bush long ago when he asked for God's name. Jesus' words in that storm echo the name of the one who made the earth and the seas, who breathed life into being, who holds creation in strong, loving arms, who walks along the deep. "Take heart, I am. Do not be afraid." And it seems to me that this is the promise at the heart of this strange and beautiful story. Not that life with Jesus will always be smooth sailing, not that we will avoid stormy seas, but that Jesus, God's beloved, God sharing our life, will be with us in them. That when we find ourselves overwhelmed and spent, unsure we can go on, he is there beside us still. "Take heart, I am. Do not be afraid." In the Beatitudes, the foundational teaching that begins his ministry, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And Eugene Peterson translates that verse this way: You're blessed when you are at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. It's a strange teaching for sure. Nothing at all like the way the world tends to see things, where we are only blessed when we're in control, when we've got everything in order. But maybe this is something like what the disciples experienced that night at sea. That when we are at the end of our rope, spent, overwhelmed, exhausted, we are in fact blessed because Jesus is still there, walking toward us with words of hope. This is not an easy lesson for me. Maybe not for you either. But Christian life is often like this. It's not about having everything under control, but about calling to God in the midst of the storm, trusting that Jesus will be with us, that he is, no matter what. So we're gathered at the river this morning, gathered at the river of faith that flows from long before us and flows on farther than we can imagine. We are gathered to proclaim God's love for Amelie and for Santiago, to sing God's love for each and every person, to pledge ourselves once again to following the never-ending flow of mercy and justice wherever it may go. We're here together, friends, to remember that we are never alone, traveling with one another and with Jesus, who speaks to us all yet again. Take heart, I am. Do not be afraid. Thanks be to God. Amen.